Greetings and blessings, brothers and sisters. Welcome aboard today. It's your daily devotion. This is Thursday, November 11th, 11/11, and it's Veterans Day in the United States of America, as many around the country are honoring those who have given and all those willing to give in the past, in the present, and in the future. Our hearts go out to them and their families. Well, it's not only Veterans Day. It's our 22nd episode of the Book of Job. 22nd episode. And today, we're going to hear chapters 23 and 24. Now, that's Job's response to Eliphaz, who we just heard from yesterday. So today we hear two chapters. They're not too long, but together, you know, we'll have a little bit longer probably, but it's Job's two-chapter response to Eliphaz. And speaking of Eliphaz, let's think about yesterday's devotion before we go forward. Again, just trying to keep everybody coming along, gaining, you know, little understanding by understanding, and by the time you get to the end, you say, man, I need to read that again now that I know this stuff, right? And I suggest you do that. Amen. Well, chapter 22 began a new round of responses to Job, discourses to Job, kind of our third round. And, you know, what we're really getting a sense of is the battle, right? It's an intellectual and spiritual battle between the three friends and Job. And they're carrying it off as if they're in competition, which they all seem to be, right? And they need to defeat their opponent. It's like an athletic contest. And back in the day, those days especially, a lot of ancient days and cultures, these intellectual kind of debates were very popular. These discourses back and forth, the art of rhetoric, right, is all about that. The ability to make an argument, quote unquote, not to argue, but to solidify your point of view. It's called an argument. And we used to have a lot of that. So our friend J. Vernon McGee doesn't think much of this switch from no longer valuing intellectual and spiritual debate. I'm going to quote from his commentary. And chapter 22 inspired this commentary, so see what you think. He says, today we build bigger and bigger stadiums all over this country. It's a mighty poor city that doesn't have a gleaming multi-million dollar stadium for athletic events. However, very little money goes for the intellectual and even less for the spiritual exercise. Here in Job, it is an intellectual battle and a spiritual battle. You know, very few of us have ever been out on the football field carrying the ball or charging or blocking. Very few of us have ever gone up to bat in a major league game. But all of us are out in the arena of life in a spiritual battle. This does not seem important to most people. They would rather go and sit in the bleachers and watch somebody else carry the ball. Well, my friend, you and I are fighting a spiritual battle. Paul tells us that we are wrestling and that the wrestling match is going on right now. Woo! So that's kind of the parts of J. Vernon McGee that I kind of like. They kind of get me. I like that kind of direct focus, firm and direct, you know. Give me some boundaries. Give me my freedom, but set some firm boundaries because I'm pretty dangerous without them, right? So he does that for me. Well, I just throw that in there as a bonus. Let's get on to today's Job's response to Eliphaz. Eliphaz, again, the spiritualist, he's basing his perspective on visions, dreams he's had. You know, visions and dreams. He believes he has seen the truth from these visions and dreams, and he's trying to get Job to see it. He assumes God is Job's enemy. You can tell that by the way he talks about the relationship. And so many people, today even, think about that. If someone doesn't believe the same way you believe, are they God's enemy? Are they going to hell? Well, we have too many Christians who still believe that. Enough of that. All right, let's proceed on to today's devotion. Chapters 23 and 24 of the book of Job. This is Job responding to Eliphaz and the other friends. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. The upright can establish their innocence before him, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept it his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and many such plans he still has in store. That is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." And now we transition into chapter 24. Job continues. "Why does the Almighty not set times for judgment? Why must those who know him look in vain for such days? There are those who move boundary stones. They pass your flocks they have stolen. They drive away the orphan's donkey and take the widow's ox in pledge. They thrust the needy from the path, and they force all the poor of their land into hiding. Like wild donkeys in the desert, the poor go about their labor of foraging food. The wasteland provides food for their children. They gather fodder in the fields and glean in the vineyards of the wicked. Lacking clothes, they spend the night naked. They have nothing to cover themselves in the cold. They are drenched by mountain rains and hug the rocks for lack of shelter. The fatherless child is snatched from the breast. The infant of the poor is seized for a debt. Lacking clothes, they go about naked. They carry the sheaves, but still go hungry. They crush olives among the terraces. They tread the wine presses, yet suffer thirst. The groans of the dying rise from our city, and the souls of the wounded cry out for help. But God charges no one with wrongdoing. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its way or stay in its path. When daylight is gone, the murderer rises up, kills the poor and needy, and in the night steals forth like a thief. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks, no eye will see me, and he keeps his face concealed. In the dark, thieves break into houses, but by day, they shut themselves in. They want nothing to do with the light. For all of them, midnight is their morning. They make friends with the terrors of darkness. Yet, they are foam on the surface of the water. Their portion of the land is cursed, so that no one goes to the vineyards. As heat and drought snatch away the melted snow, so the grave snatches away those who have sinned. The womb forgets them. The worm feasts on them. The wicked are no longer remembered, but are broken like a tree. They prey on the barren and childless woman, and to the widow they show no kindness. But God drags away the mighty by his power. Though they become established, they have no assurance of life. He may let them rest in a feeling of security, but his eyes are on their ways. For a little while, they are exalted, and then they are gone. They are brought low and gathered up like all others. They are cut off like heads of grain. If this is not so, who can prove me false and reduce my words to nothing? And thus ends Job's response to Eliphaz. We're up to chapter 25 tomorrow, and we'll hear how Bildad responds to that discourse from Job. So exciting. Amen. Hallelujah.